What's the game-changing realization that helped you build a high-performing team? That question is at the center of every episode of the HR Impact Show. Every HR professional wants to build a team that has empowered managers, engaged employees, and an organization that's striving to become elite. The challenge is that you're often told to do more with less. We're going to fix that. Every week, we will feature executive and senior HR leaders from across the country, and they will share with us their actionable insights and best practices that's going to help empower you to create an engaged, elite workforce. Here's the show. Thanks for joining us today on the HR Impact Show. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim. Your managers are drowning in the immediate, and they're not focused on the important. That forces you to live in constant firefighting mode. It doesn't have to be this way, but unfortunately, leaders of all stripes are running thin and have no time to focus on more long-term, impactful things. That is what gets you stuck in the chaos cycle. So how can you fix this? That's what we're going to cover in today's episode of the HR Impact Show. And Lauren Adams, head of leadership development at JLL, is joining us today to help unravel the mess that we're in. So let me give you a little bit of background on Lauren's story. She's an extremely accomplished senior L&D professional, bringing over 10 years of expertise in leadership development to the table. Her career has been defined by her ability to design and implement innovative learning solutions that make a lasting impact on organizations at every level. As the head of leadership development products for JLL, Lauren empowers leaders across the organization by providing valuable resources that address their unique needs. Working closely with the talent development team, she spearheads transformative leadership programs built upon JLL's core values and capabilities, fostering a culture of excellence. From tailored leadership programs to specific leadership levels, to a range of interactive delivery methods, Lauren ensures that every individual's learning journey is engaging, meaningful, and promotes long-term retention. And that last part is my favorite part of that bio, because I'm a huge retention nerd. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Jim.
For those listeners who aren't aware of JLL, they're known for having a pretty top-tier learning and development organization. So this is going to be a really interesting conversation to dig into. So before we dive into the main part of the conversation, what do we leave out that you feel is important for the listeners to know about you that's going to better inform this conversation that we're going to have?
A couple elements that are important to mention are just my experience even within JLL has been moving around quite a bit within the L&D space. So everything from working on small teams on an individual client account to where I am now with our centralized L&D and talent delivery team. I've got that kind of experience of from the line manager all the way through executive level of how we need to develop people and the different needs that those groups bring to the table. I think that helps us really speak to some of the topics we're going to address today.
You said that you've worked across JLL, and even prior to JLL, you've had a lot of experience in the space, and your exposure at all levels of the organization has informed some of the things that we're going to talk about. Tell us a little bit more about how that equipped you for success when it comes to building high-performance teams.
When we step back and look at what we need from high-performance teams, the outcomes, the deliverables that we're trying to drive for are the same no matter what level, but how we get to that point can be very different. So when you're working with first-time managers early in their career, how you present information to them for them to take back to their teams, what they need as far as that coaching piece is going to be a little bit heavier than when you get into more senior levels of the organization as you're trying to help them develop their leadership voice. In a lot of those cases, they really want to bring their expertise to the table and be able to demonstrate that they already are leaders, and don't giving them a little bit more space to peer coach each other, to engage with the learning at a slightly different level, but really build out the culture of learning slightly different depending on the level that people are at within the organization, and even the size of the organization you're working within.
It's interesting that you called out the different levels of needs as you go up and down throughout the organization. But I want to zone in real quick at the first-time manager or line-level manager and talk a little bit more about what those managers need in terms of support to be more effective leaders than, let's say, at the executive tier. Tell me a little bit more about some of the common mistakes that you see first-time managers or early career leaders make and how organizations can better support their effectiveness.
Some of the gap areas for that leaders at those levels are around the areas of curiosity and transparency. We see a lot of times that leaders, new managers, new leaders really feel that they have to demonstrate that they are the expert. I have to prove that I'm worthy of being in this management position, that I know what I'm doing. And as a result, I may not be leveraging the expertise of my team. I may be overriding their opportunities to provide an innovative option, an idea, a solution, because I'm not asking for input. I'm dictating. I'm telling them what we need to do. And then similarly, we see some gaps around the transparency. Now that I'm in charge, I have a lot of information, but I'm not passing that on to my team or not finding ways to clue them into things that may be coming. And as a result, it ends up actually proving to be a hindrance to the rest of the team, because we see there are things you can't tell people. There are confidential things coming down from the top, but even something as much as saying, we have some conversations taking place in the upper level that may have an impact on this project we're doing. Let's pause for a little bit until we hear what those are going to be and refocus on something else. You're not telling them what's coming. You're not providing too much information, but you're giving enough transparency that people don't go in the wrong direction or become disengaged because they don't understand what's coming.
Your point about first-time managers or early career managers having to or feeling like they have to prove themselves to now their team is a really important one. It's a common pitfall that a lot of folks at that stage of their career fall into. What's your advice to those folks on how they could avoid falling into that trap? What are some of the practical things that they need to be doing to avoid that mistake?
A lot of it comes to creating some space for yourself to take a step back, to pause in the process as you're leading your people, as you're presenting work, a project, something that needs to be dealt with, and really giving yourself an opportunity to ask, what would I have wanted if I was in their position? What would I want my leader to be asking me or to be presenting to me? And asking my employees the right question. Am I giving them room to have a voice before I say, this is the direction we have to take? So being just a little bit practical and taking that step back a little bit on for yourself in the process. And then also really getting to know and work well with your team members. Leading isn't about necessarily being right. It's not about having the answers. It's about building up the people around you so that they can help provide the right answer, that they can take us in the direction we need to go. And the only way you can do that is by getting to hear from them, getting to understand their skills, their strength, and what they bring to the table.
Before we dive into the core part of the conversation that I'd like your input on is, when we're looking at all of the conversations that we have, a lot of it is about leadership and HR. What's the one leadership or HR myth that you just wish would go away and why?
I think the biggest leadership myth that I love to see done away with is that a leader can't let their people fail. We need to fail fast, fail forward. That's how we innovate. And we see a lot of times with leaders who are afraid to let their people take charge and run with an idea, or they have to correct every little step, that people stop innovating. They stop bringing forward new ideas because it's going to get shot down, or my manager is going to rework that slide anyway. It doesn't matter how I did it. And we lose that creativity. We lose the progress, the forward opportunities that we have to really drive outcomes and bring about change. So making room to allow your people to fail in small ways and learn from that, to bring their failures forward and use those as coaching opportunities, is critical.
I can appreciate that position, and actually fail fast, fail often, and fail forward is one of my favorite sort of mantras. And I'm coming from sort of the small startup environment. So I get how that works from an innovation perspective and a learning perspective in that environment. I'd be curious to get your perspective of how you apply that in a much larger organization. Like JLL is a massive organization. So how does a leader in a large organization build a quote unquote failure culture or tolerance for failure in an environment where everything is basically mapped out and you're in this know your role, stay in your lane environment?
I think the big examples maybe that come to mind for me are opportunities where if you've put someone in charge of a project presentation before you deliver it to the client, have them deliver it to your team. Give them the opportunity to present what they did, their work. Don't critique it first. Give them the opportunity to present internally. And then if there are issues, if there's challenges, if there's mistakes, we can go in and we can address and we can coach and we can fix those things. So that what the client sees, what's being done externally is the right content. It is approved. It is where it needs to be at the right level, but it still allows them to present their work. The challenge with not allowing people to fail is that we often stop them too early in the process. Okay, I see what your idea was for that, but what if you went in this direction instead? Maybe I have a reason for why I did it this way. Let me present to you the full concept before we shut it down and see if we can take that somewhere. So it again ties into what I mentioned earlier on the curiosity and transparency. Let's not shut it down. Let's not tell them it has to be. If we can make room to give it an opportunity to deliver it in a different way or to ask questions that will help them form the right answer on their own.
I like your point about don't be eager to critique and also try not to stop before the process has worked itself out. I think that's really well taken. I guess it goes back to the same question I had earlier. It sounds good in theory. What are the practical things that you need to do that you can build the discipline to pause, give space and build space for your team to go ahead and execute so that they're actually using this as a learning experience?
This is a skill like anything else. It is a journey that we're on of learning how to be our leaders, how our teams need to be led, and what our people need from us. So find those smaller projects, those maybe less high impact opportunities where you can give people more freedom and allow them more room to come forward with their own ideas or their own process and recommendations for things. There are going to always be times when you have to stop something early on. Nope, that's not the right direction. You've got to jump in. But as you begin to allow the freedom in smaller areas and give those kind of practical application opportunities, you create a culture where people are comfortable. They know when to come for questions or when to say, hey, I need your input on this, rather than you having to jump in and provide it up front.
Wow, it's been a great conversation so far. Make sure you join the HR Impact Community, where we gather a community of HR leaders just like you. This is a space where top people leaders share actionable insights and practical playbooks. Sign up today as a member for the community. Get updates on the latest HR resources and exclusive event invites. You can join the community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And now, back to the show. We're taking the HR Impact Show on the road. As a loyal listener to the HR Impact Show, we'd like to invite you to join us live at the 2024 Transform Conference at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas from March 11th through the 13th. Transform brings together people-driven leaders, investors, and innovators across industries and backgrounds with a shared passion for people innovation and transforming the world of work. The 2024 Transform Conference is going to be the best yet. Here's what you can expect: innovative showcases, probing conversations, hands-on learning experiences, 300 plus speakers, and more. Join us and let's shape the future world of work together.
I really like your point about let's identify those things that are lower impact, that are smaller in terms of scale and scope, so that you can actually build up to something that's more high impact. What are the things that leaders need to be doing with their people so they get visibility into what each person is going to find interesting and valuable as stretch assignments or as opportunities for growth?
Really, managers, leaders need to be having regular ongoing conversations with your employees. This should not be a every 6 month check-in on their career. We should be having real quality level conversations about what are you doing now? Where do you see yourself? What do you want to develop? What are your goals? So that I can help target and feed to you things that are going to speak to you in those areas, and really giving the employee the opportunity to be heard rather than it just here's what you get because that's what's coming out. When you have those regular conversations, you get to build that relationship so that when you have to tell them, yep, you got to do this thing that I know you hate, they know that it's because that's what just has to be done, but they recognize that you are getting them the things that really seed their soul as well.
For folks like us who are in and around the HR space and are talking about these sort of things as best practices, everybody's going to be sitting here hearing that going, yeah, no, of course. But there's going to be a segment of our audience who are business leaders or functional leaders or whatever, and they're going to say, do you have any idea what my day looks like? I'm like running around all the time, firefighting all the time. How do I find time? It's not feasible for me to carve out the time to do this. And that really gets at one of the main questions that we're trying to answer. How do you actually create the space and time as a leader to work on these things so that you're not in that firefighting mode constantly? Tell us a little bit about that and how that ties into some of the principles of building a high-performance team.
It's very different depending on which industry you work in, depending on what level of leader you are, how much experience you have. But even in an environment where perhaps manufacturing and you've got people on a line that are trying to deliver that you have to manage, you can't pull them off the line to having conversations on a weekly bi-weekly basis, but you can stop by and check in on people. So creating a starting point for yourself of, okay, I'm going to block a certain portion of my day for my people management. That is a critical leadership element that a lot of early managers, mid-level managers struggle with because there's so many roles that we are responsible for. We fail to deliver for our people and really focus on what they need from us. That's where we get that question around retention, because you're not building into your people, they're not being heard. So as a leader, really blocking a time for yourself that every day at this time, I'm going to do something on my people management, to reach out to someone on my team, to do a coffee chat, to do some recognition, maybe whatever it is that really is going to help develop that skill for you.
I like that dedicated time block for people development. And let's define that a little bit more. So you referenced the shop floor. That would be one example of managing by walking around that you could actually execute this. I don't know that world very well. So I'm going to translate this to a different environment that I do know very well. So I've always been in sales or revenue operations for every organization that I've been in. And oftentimes when we as sales managers or sales leaders are told you need to have one-on-ones, one of the common mistakes is those one-on-ones end up being conversations about what did you do in the week, which this meeting could have been an email, is really the reaction that most people get to those sort of conversations. So when we're building structure around those people development conversations, what are the things that we need to have on the agenda so it doesn't turn into a status report? It's an actual development conversation.
I really like to start those conversations with more just personal questions. How are you? What are you doing? How are things going for you? Really making it the starting point, not be, so what's going on with this project report out meetings are a separate thing and should be dealt with as the project planning process, not in those individual one-on-ones. So trying to keep it much more targeted to, let's start with individual questions. How are you? What's going on? What do you need from me? How can I support you? Where do you want to grow? Can I make any connections for you? And really having a set list, I found, of questions that you can go through until you build up a cadence and a rapport with your people. And it helps you to be able to translate that across your team. We always have one or two people that we click with right away, and it's a super easy conversation. Everything flows. And then others that maybe we just don't have quite as much rapport with or as in common with. In having the same set of questions that you start from can help to build that.
When we're looking at the lens of this entire conversation, we've been talking largely from the perspective of a new manager, but we haven't really defined some of the areas that you can still be a new manager and at the same time have a lot of experience under your belt. So I want to take what you just talked about, building the personal relationship, being curious and asking those questions to really get that relationship built. More often than not, if you're a manager in an organization, you didn't really build out the whole team. It might be a situation where the previous manager either got promoted or has been exited from the organization and you're the new person literally in that team. And you're starting from ground zero. So if you're starting from ground zero, what are some of the things that you've seen that really help that new manager, experienced or inexperienced, build trust quickly across their team so that they can move to those higher value conversations that really get into that development mode?
The first thing, regardless of experience level, when coming in as a new leader, a new manager, really I found is ask, what do you need from me? What is the best way for me to work with you? Just starting there, laying that foundation of this is how that each individual works, their best ways of working, what they rely on their manager for, and then being able to present a little bit more of who you are, what you bring to the table, what you'd love to be able to partner with them on, and have it be, again, starting from that kind of curiosity of how can we work together? What do you need? Where do we support each other? That it's not just coming in as I'm in charge now. Here's what's going to happen. So really building from a place of curiosity from the start.
The things that you're talking about when you're establishing a foundation of trust and building that relationship is really important. How do you pivot when all of a sudden the strategic objectives of an organization might change? So everybody's been brought in to go one direction and then time passes and all of a sudden the team is established and working well. And now you as a manager have to communicate a pretty significant change in the direction of how things are going to be done, where we're going, all of that sort of stuff. What's your advice for managers who are looking to successfully navigate that pivot?
Really focusing in on being as transparent as you can, when you can. Time over time, what you're able to share and how you share that will shift depending on the type of change and the type of impact that it's having. But even being able to just tell the team and be honest with them about how you're feeling about the change. There's a lot coming that I'm not really sure of yet, that I have a lot of questions around still, but we're going to navigate this together. We're going to have these new ways of working, but I want to hear from you as we get into it so that you can tell me how this is working for you and where we might need to be creative in our solution. So really making it much more of a partnership in this, than telling them this is just what we have to do, gives them the opportunity to feel like it's not happening to them, it's happening with them involved in leading that process, giving the leader a little bit more of an opportunity to lead through influence in some of these cases of how they want to impact that change.
Really good stuff, Lauren. I think we've talked through some of the challenges associated with managers running thin and being constantly in firefighting mode. So I want to get a little bit more focused here and map out, how do you solve this? If leaders in general and managers in particular want to be able to get out of that chaos circle, what's the framework? How do they back out so that they can create more space for themselves and be much more effective as people leaders?
The framework I would start with is first blocking time for yourself and prioritizing your people management. First step, get that on your calendars in a regular cadence so that you know that you have something dedicated to it, but not something you only address in a firefighting mode. Then really plan out and have questions ready for yourself and for your team so that you can challenge them on opportunities for them to step up, for them to support the objectives and where you're trying to go. You don't have to be the one coming up with every answer and delivering every direction for things to go. That's why you have a team working with you. So really bringing forward the questions to engage them along the way in that process.
I appreciate you sharing those couple principles. When you think about the conversation that we had, what are some of the key principles or key things that listeners need to take inventory of and apply to their roles as leaders to be effective?
The key actions or areas where leaders can really start applying things are around looking for opportunities to be more transparent with your team and really taking the step back on asking, if I were in my team member's position, what would I need from my leader? Asking that question and creating a space to be more transparent and to share more information with your team so they can engage in solutioning will be a great step to get this moving forward, to start seeing progress right away.
Awesome stuff, Lauren. I appreciate you hanging out with us. For those folks who want to continue the conversation, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
I am available on LinkedIn at LP Adams, at LinkedIn. So always happy to chat with people and connect.
Thanks for hanging out with us. I really liked the conversation that we had. You said a lot of things that I think are important. I think one of the key principles that I think every listener needs to take away from this conversation is that if you're at any level of leadership or management that you're in, you need to take off the expert hat. You don't need to be the expert. Your job is to create space for your people to become experts. And that can't happen if you're constantly jumping into the fray and trying to get back to your quote unquote playing days. If you're asking the question, how do I do that? There's a couple of principles that you mentioned that I think are really important to highlight. One is start small. You need to create small opportunities for your people to be successful and experiment and give them the opportunity to learn through those small, safe opportunities. The other thing that leaders need to keep in mind is that you need to create the space and opportunity for success. And sometimes that means allowing your people to fail. So you need to resist the urge of jumping in and offering critiques and suggestions too early. Because if you do that, you're likely to demoralize the person that you're trying to develop, and you're actually going to make them gun shy in terms of their initiative to innovate or try something new. I appreciate you hanging out with us and sharing your input. For those of you who have been listening to the conversation, make sure you leave us a review. Make sure you join the HR Impact community. You can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And then tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us to share with us the game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of the HR Impact Show. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find the community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another guest who's going to share with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.